Let me just read a little bit to you from the Psalms, and then the other ones I will bring to your attention, and perhaps we shall turn to some as well. Psalm chapter 3, look at verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cry unto the Lord with my voice, and he answereth me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I await, for the Lord sustaineth me. I will not be afraid. Now look at Psalm 4, verse 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than they have when their grain and new wine are increased. In peace will I both lay me down and sleep. For thou, Lord, alone makest me dwell in safety. And so, the title of the message is not curable or unworthy at all. I just read it to you from two of the Psalms. Now I lay me down to sleep. Look at Psalm 42. 42. Who is a man in great sorrow, and this is what he says. Yet in the midst of that sorrow, he says in verse 7, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterfalls. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. Even a prayer unto the God of my life. Now, 127. and let's start at the first verse. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to take rest late, to eat the bread of toil, for so he giveth unto his beloved sleep. Let us speak to God again in prayer. And Father, there is nothing like thy word. There is nothing that can take its place. We rejoice that as there is medicine that physicians give us for our bodies, the word of God is good medicine for our souls. We are thankful, our Father, that all the wisdom and philosophy and understanding necessary for man can be found in this book. We are thankful, our Father, that it's there, and we would not forget what your Son said. If you know these things, happy, blessed are ye if you do them. So, our Father, as you tell us about so many subjects this morning, we heard about things that were so upsetting, that were morally undesirable things, and yet your word told us about them. And tonight, in the scriptures, we have already read about something with which all of us are familiar, sleep. And so, our God, we pray that we shall be blessed in our souls, and we shall have an understanding of it, and we shall see the experiences of men and women of old, because we've read these scriptures and thought on them, and thou hast blessed our souls from their contemplation. So help us to that end this night. We thank you for the blessings of the day, the fellowship that has been ours with the saints of God, the place that your Son was given this morning, the preeminent place, and we are thankful again for the honor that is ours to seek to feed your lambs and sheep. So let us not be disappointed. We look to thee for good. We confess our sins, be faithful and just, to forgive and cleanse as thou hast promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Do you look forward at the end of the day when all your tasks have been accomplished to lying down upon your bed and having a good night's sleep? Or are you like Job, who as he contemplates the night, he says, wearisome nights are appointed me. We find that night can be looked upon in a twofold way. It can be anticipated when at last you may lie down to go to sleep, or you may note that night is coming and it's time for you to get into the bed, that there will be no sleep. You'll be like Job when he says, wearisome nights are appointed to me, and in the night I say, when shall the day arise and I be able to get up from all my tossings and turnings upon my bed? And so some of us can look forward to sleep at night as something to be anticipated, a blessing from God. And some of us can understand that it is essential that we get sleep, but when we lie down, sleep flees from our eyes. Well, the first thing I want to do is to give you a little lesson about lying down to sleep. You never know when to say lie or when to say lay. Now I lay me down to sleep. Why didn't it say, now I lie me down to sleep? Do you know any reason for it? I will tell you, and if you remember this, you'll never make a mistake again. When there is an object, you lay an object down. And having laid that object down, what did you do with it? You say, I laid it down. And then, I have laid it down. If it's an object, you lay it down, you laid it down, you have laid it down. If it is yourself, you lie down, you lay down, you have lain down. Now, isn't that easy? You may never have known it, but it's just that simple. So, do not say, go lay down and go to sleep. No. You may lay yourself down. Why? Because you're an object, and you lay yourself down. But you lie down to go to sleep. And so it's correct when you say, now I lay me down to sleep. And once you have laid yourself down to sleep, you are lying down. Now, some of us, the title I've given to the message, remember it, of when we were children. And I thank God that as a child, that when it was night, my mother, as best she was able, when we got ready for bed, she would make me say my prayers. And I suppose my prayer is the same as your prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Why, that was a beautiful prayer, but it had no meaning to me. But I prayed it, and after having said that, you would think about people that should be blessed, and then you would say a few words, and you would go to sleep. But thank God that I can remember nights, and at night, my mother would put me to bed, and I would say my prayers. And some have fathers and mothers who, when they go to bed, read them a story. Now, mother would put me to bed, and I would say a prayer, but I can remember my father reading me stories. To this day, I can remember the books that he read to me. Two of them were Tom Sawyer, and the other one was Huckleberry Finn. And I remembered it, and it was over 60 years ago, but I can remember those things. So, for some of us, night is a time when we can go to sleep, and we can rest and be unafraid, and in the morning, rise and be refreshed. But for others like Job, You go to bed because it's dark and everyone else has gone to sleep, and wearisome nights are appointed you. And so there are two kinds of anticipations of the night. One, that you dread it and you wonder if you'll ever get to sleep. And then the other one, you anticipate it and you go to sleep. So there are two kinds of nights. There are troublesome nights and there are sweet nights. There are nights when you cannot get to sleep, and there are nights when you will fall off to sleep immediately. And what is my experience now? I know as a young man, I couldn't stay awake. But as an old man, you can't get to sleep. As a young man, I remember that when it was time to go to school, mother would have to come in and shake me and get me out of bed, you see. I had no trouble sleeping at all. And when I was in the Navy, I can remember it. They would get you up at the bust of dawn and work you all day long, and I can remember being so sleepy, that if there were an opportunity, I would lie down on the floor and try to close my eyes and have no trouble. I could go to sleep. That was when I was young. And I remember also when as a young man, you would stay out all night and then you had to go to work in the morning. You had no trouble going to sleep. You had all the trouble trying to stay awake. But as an older man, what happens is that you may go to sleep and stay asleep for, say, an hour or more, and then you wake up and you're in the bed. And you just lie there, and you cannot get to sleep. Well, it makes no difference for this reason. If you study the Word of God, you'll find those like Job, and you'll find like others that sleep flees from your eyes. And then you will also find that some of them experienced a remedy and something that could be done to give them sleep, and then also something to be done when they were not able to sleep. And I will confess that I slept soundly until 5:55 this morning, and then I was not able to sleep, but I lay in bed until 8:15. But for 2 hours and 15 minutes, my mind was upon the subject that I was going to speak on this morning. That is one of the solutions. If you know portions of the Word of God, then if you cannot sleep, you simply set your mind on those portions of the Word of God and you think of them. Questions that you've wondered about the Word of God, that is what you do. You set your mind on those things. And there is always a subject upon which I can set my mind, because I thought of it now. For almost 40 years, I've been compelled to have a message for Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday night. And so there was never a time when there was not a subject before my mind. And when I wake up and cannot go to sleep, I'm not concerned at all. I say, the message today is Adam's rib. And I saw for over 2 hours all the references, and I only touched the surface for you this morning. You think of all the portions of the Word of God about man and woman and creation. And so often, and I will tell you this unashamedly, some places that want you to preach, and I've seen it at conferences, they say, send us your message and your outline 3 months in advance. And I'm laughing and laughing because I'm lying in the bed at 6 o'clock this morning and I do not know what the message is yet. How can I send it to you 3 months in advance? But that's what they want. And many times, the many thoughts you have in your mind are brought together and you say, yes. And then, having settled that, I've closed my eyes and gone to sleep and not worried at all. Not worried about forgetting it, because I knew that I would remember it when I got up in the morning And I thank God. Others are scared to death, and they sleep with a notepad by their bed. So that if a good thought comes to them, they get up, and so that's it. The light goes on, and then off and on and off. But the Lord has blessed me so that I can think of these things, put them together in my mind, and then when I get up in the morning, they say, what are you speaking on? And I say, it's almost there. And then when 11:25 comes, perhaps God has prepared me. But these are some of the things that you do in the night. You can go to bed, and you can look forward to a good night's sleep, or you can go to bed, and if it's going to be one of tossing and turning, then you can anticipate things to do. But you must have a subject before your mind. You must have scriptures before your mind. And if you think of them long enough, eventually you'll not be able to think about them, and then you will doze off, and you will be asleep. And then you redeem the time. You realize that you can redeem the time when you cannot sleep as well as when you are awake. And this is what God tells us about sleep. Now, on occasion, these things that I'm telling you that sound so simple, they're not simple at all. Because there are some people that because of emotions and because of sickness and pain are not able to get to sleep. And they're in such pain that they're not able to think about anything. Only recently have I had that experience. Have you ever heard of the sciatica nerve? Well, if you haven't, rejoice. I hope you never learn about it. But it's a nerve from the back that goes up and down your leg, about which I knew nothing until the month of October. And I was in the mountains, and I was trying to go from a low place to a high place. And I grabbed hold of a bar and pulled myself around. And when I did, I felt a strain in my back. But then, after that, that night, and for the next 4 to 8 weeks, I was unable to sleep at night. You cannot lie in one position 5 seconds, literally. You try every conceivable position to get rid of that pain, but it's absolutely impossible. And I spoke to people that had had that same experience before, and to speak to them is to be destroyed. They say, oh, it's the sciatica nerve. I remember it took me 6 weeks. You're expecting in a day or two that all will go away. But then you speak to another and hope they will give you a shorter period of time, and they will say, it took me 8 weeks. And then I remember speaking to another man, and he said, oh, it took me 4 months. And so I said, well, perhaps I'll be in the 6 week area. But it was so painful, and this is what is so sorrowful, that I was not able to think about the Word of God, but you simply pour out your heart in prayer to God and ask for strength through the night. And then when you get up, you're in pain again, and you cannot look forward to going to rest at night. But think of the lesson that was learned during that time about some of the dear people of God that cannot hear 4 weeks or 6 weeks or 4 months, but a lifetime of suffering is before them. I can enter into sympathy with those people now. And I think of a dear lady who, when I was sick, she had crippling degenerative arthritis. And when she walked, just walking, at times her bones would break. But every morning and every night, she would have herself carried out to the assembly, and she would not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. But I think of that woman in the nighttime. And during those times of pain, when she was unable to sleep, I know at least she did this for me, whether it was day or night. She would send a little letter saying, a prayer, O Graham, for John Mills. And here my sickness was nothing in comparison to hers. And that dear lady was sending a little prayer, sending some notes that would give consolation and comfort to your soul. And that is what that woman did in her hours and days and months and a lifetime of pain that she had to endure until only recently The Lord took her home. And then I think of this verse, because this is something that we can look forward to. It says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and he shall be their God." And it says, "And death shall be no more, neither mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the first things are passed away." So that is the consolation. You see, it's always night, and it comes morning for the child of God. Listen to this verse. "Sorrow may tarry for the night, but joy cometh in the morning." So, at times, it's a 24-hour day and night. In some of us, it is a night that lasts a lifetime. Sorrow may come in for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And I promise to all of you who are suffering and you have no prognosis as to when that pain will go away, I promise you that it will go away in the morning, God's morning. And you will ask and wonder, as our Savior cried out and asked that one time in his life, why? You would wonder, why, O God, is this necessary? How is it beneficial? I'm not able to think on your word. I'm here lying in pain. Why, O God, is this necessary? You're not criticizing God, but you're trying to find a solution as to why all of this happens, and God does not give you a solution. It's like Job, who in his boldness was challenging God, and he said, if I could only speak to God, I would set my case before him, and things would get straightened out. And so finally God appeared to him, and Job never asked God a word, and God never told Job any answer, and Job was satisfied. That's the remarkable thing. So, sweet are the uses of sleep, whether they are troublesome sleep, or the Bible speaks of this. There are three references to sweet sleep. That's a beautiful thing. It speaks about sleep shall be sweet, and then it speaks about troublesome sleep. And I thank God for troublesome sleep, because so many things have been accomplished in the Word of God when people have not been able to sleep. Let me give you a little bit of all of these references. I remember that Mordecai had heard about a conspiracy against Ahasuerus, and he reported it, and instead of being assassinated, his life was saved, and the matter was forgotten. But it says that one night, Ahasuerus could not sleep. And so he called for his attendants. He said, bring me the books, the records of the Chronicles, and read them to me. And so if it's like the old time of day, they get strong men to bring in these clay tablets, and they're sitting there reading to him. And he reads that in time past, there was a man named Mordecai who reported an attempt on the king's life. And he says, what was done for this man? And they say, why, nothing has been done for the man. And at that same moment, Haman is planning to hang Mordecai on a gallows 75 feet high. And Haman comes in the palace of all time, of all things at that time. And he calls Haman and he says, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? And Haman said, why, there's no one except myself that he would want to honor. And so he thinks of all these glorious things to be done. Get the king's apparel and the king's horse, and get a man of prominence, and let him be carried through the city, and let a crown be put on his head. Let all of these things be done. And Ahasuerus says to Haman, that's exactly what you're to do for Mordecai. Now let me ask you, do you think that Mordecai was delighted that Ahasuerus had a troublesome night of sleep? You say, indeed, he was. So God is behind some of these troublesome nights of sleep. I will tell you another. In the book of Job, Job is contending with God. And he is striving with God because he giveth not an account of any of his matters. And Elihu came to him and he said, you are wrong. God speaks to man 1, 2, 3 ways. And he said, this is one of the ways that God speaks to a man. He said, when the man is asleep, he sends him a dream, and in that dream he warns him about the serious condition of his soul, and that man is redeemed and going down to the pit. So in this time of troubled sleep, God sends a dream, and he still does it today. There are some people that have dreams, and as Dickens said, some dreams are caused by an undigested piece of cheese. But other dreams are sent by God, and a man's soul is searched, and he comes to his senses, and then the cause of this troublesome night, not able to sleep, a dream, he wakes up, and then God in that dream has shown him how to deliver his soul. That's one of the ways. That's all that I need to tell you about that. And let me ask you this. Do you think that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were sorrowful or rejoicing when Nebuchadnezzar was sleeping and he had a night that was filled with a dream that perplexed him, and he woke up in the morning and he was so troubled and he wanted to know what that dream was, and no one could tell him. And he was ready to have all of his wise men put to death. But when the report comes to Daniel, Daniel says, there's nothing to worry about. We'll give him an answer, an interpretation of that dream. And then he tells him the interpretation of that great statue. You remember Nebuchadnezzar being the head of gold and so forth. This is because of what happened to a man at night, and he had a dream. So was Daniel glad that he had a troublesome night, had this dream, and his soul was troubled? Why, of course, because it was an opportunity for God to place Daniel in the position that God wanted him all along. And this, you remember? Pharaoh had this dream one night. He had this dream another night. And he's troubled about these dreams. And then the butler says, I know a man who can answer those dreams, who can interpret them. And he tells him about Joseph. And Joseph is brought out of prison and set before the king, and he becomes the second ruler in Egypt. Now, are you glad that some people had troublesome nights and dreams? You say, I know in the case of these men, yes, but in my case, well, it may be something that God is trying to do with you to somebody else, because of these troublesome nights. So these are some of the things that happen, and God has a reason behind it. So do not criticize God, but simply seek to learn the lesson that God has to teach you when you are not able to sleep. Because I told you about what little pain not worthy of being mentioned, what it taught me about others that suffer intense pain for long, long periods of time. All of these things are beneficial. You can redeem your life. You can think on whether it's a good thing or a hard thing, and you can interpret it. Not now. There are references also that speak about sweetness of sleep. Now, that's the kind that I like best. When I go to sleep, and my sleep is sweet. It happens, and I know, and I've experienced what Ecclesiastes says about it. He speaks about sweetness of sleep. He says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat much or whether he eat little. But the wealthy, those independent ones that have more than heart could wish, it says, nothing will give them a good night's sleep. And I know about that, because I told you as a young man about a sweet night's sleep, and some of the jobs that I've had have compelled me to get up at unearthly hours. I once worked for a bakery, and you would have to get up like 4 o'clock in the morning, and you would go and you would work hard all day long. And I would come home, and I can remember to this day, my wife and I would be kneeling by the bed, saying our prayers, and I would be praying, and suddenly I would go silent, and that was the end of the matter. And my wife would shake me and say, get into bed. No need to try. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Why? Because it says the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. So that is a wonderful thing. Ecclesiastes tells about it. So what we have to do is to put in a good day's work. And if you can't get to sleep, just go to work for that bakery that I work for. And I assure you that you will be able to go to sleep. Now, this sleep can come, and notice, in this instance, it's not a gift from God, but it's simply the cause of the laws of nature. You're exhausted, and you go to sleep. And it says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. So perhaps we need to take more exercise. Perhaps there is something physically that we need to do, and if we do it, then when we go to sleep, then that is blessed. Now, it says this, you must have wisdom and understanding, because it says in Proverbs chapter 3 that if you have wisdom and understanding, you will go to sleep and your sleep will be sweet. Why? Because you know how to deal with the various circumstances that are going to happen to you, but you have wisdom and understanding. And having that wisdom and understanding, you know that if you do not sleep tonight, then you'll sleep tomorrow, or you may sleep in the afternoon. You have wisdom and understanding. You have portions from God's Word that you can meditate on. And it says that some people desire sleep to flee from them so they can meditate on the things of God. I anticipated the night watches so that I could meditate on thy Word. Is that not a glorious outlook for the child of God? I'm going to sleep. And tonight I hope that I cannot sleep so that my mind, you see, the children have gone to bed, everything is still and quiet, no disturbances, and you can meditate, you can think on the things of God. So at times, God is doing us a favor when he causes this sleep to flee from our eyes because we have wisdom and understanding, and that wisdom and understanding are added to as we think of more things of the Word of God. And when that happens, then our sleep, or lack of it, is sweet. Now, here is another one, and it is so beautiful. You'll find it in Jeremiah 31. And Jeremiah there, if you know anything about the life of Jeremiah, he is one whose life is filled with sorrow, trouble, affliction. But he is one that God gave so much prophetical insight as to what was going to happen in the future. He sees what is going to happen to the nation of Israel in his lifetime, but then he understands about the 70 weeks, and Daniel takes up from what Jeremiah told him in chapter 25 and 29 about the 70 weeks, and all of these things are upon the heart of Jeremiah. And instead of dwelling upon the sorrows of the day, God enabled him to think about the marvelous deliverance from the nation of Israel in the future. And it said that he thought of these things, and what was happening in his own life was one thing, but then he thought, and prophetically, and many times the prophets of God would sleep or fall into a trance, he thought about all of these wonderful things that were going to happen in the future to the nation of Israel. And it said, and he awoke, and when he did, he thought on these things, and he said, my sleep was sweet. So if you and I, as children of God, are saved, we can think of the past, that our sins are forgiven, and there is a sweetness to sleep. And we can think of the present that is ours to serve the Lord our God, to witness to lost men, to remember our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to search the Scriptures. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You see, day and night, you can meditate on these things in the Word of God, and also concerning the future. It says, sorrow may tarry for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And you can think of all the troubles that you have now, but you can think of the morning, and you can think of all the troubles that Israel had, if you are Jeremiah, today. But joy is going to come in the morning. And you wake up, and then you say, my sleep has been sweet. So by God's grace, from now on, when you say, now I lay me down to sleep, may your sleep be troublesome or sweet, according to the will of God. But my personal desire and prayer for you is, may God give you his beloved sleep. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the way that you work in our lives. Let us know that men would go to school and learn lessons in the daytime, but you have lessons to teach men in the daytime, and you have lessons to teach men at night. When they sleep, and their sleep is sweet, and they can arise and thank you for a good night's rest, or they can arise and thank you that they have a restless night. And our Father, if they cannot thank you in this life, if they're filled with boils and sicknesses as Job, at the last, you turned his fortunes from ill to good. But our Father, for some whose portion is not even like that of Job's, as great as his sufferings were, we're so thankful that our citizenship is in heaven, whence also we wait for a Savior. And when he comes, whatever is wrong with us physically shall be changed in a moment. And all of those things that trouble us emotionally and morally, we are thankful that when he comes, we shall see him and we shall be like him. We rejoice in that, our God. And so, whether we sleep or whether we lie awake, let us have that wisdom and understanding, and then our peace can be sweet. Bless us and work in our lives that which is good in thy sight. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.